I'm Mike Sainsbury. In this ASI cast, Brian Jacobs talks to Lindsay Clay, CEO of Thinkbox, about their work as the marketing body for commercial television in the UK, and the origins and role of the global TV group she was instrumental in putting together and of which she is president.
Okay, hi everybody, this is Brian Jacobs, and today on this edition of ASI podcast, I'm joined by Lindsay Clay, the CEO of Thinkbox, the UK marketing organisation for commercial television in this country. So hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
And Lindsay, first of all, thanks for joining us today to talk a little bit about Thinkbox, but also, of course, about the Global TV Group, which we'll explain in just one moment. Maybe you could start by saying a little bit about Thinkbox and the kind of work you do in the UK.
So Thinkbox is the official marketing body for commercial TV. As you've said, we exist to help advertisers get the best out of TV in all its forms. So we commission research looking at the effectiveness of TV, looking at changing technology, how that impacts on people's behaviour and what advertisers should do about it. And we generally share the best in class examples of stuff going on in planning and creativity and effectiveness.
And you also originate a lot of research, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Work into the sort of effectiveness of television and so on. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yes, we have sort of, I suppose, two main strands of research that we look at. We have effectiveness is absolutely central to everything we do at Thinkbox. I think we figure that if you can win the argument on effectiveness, then that trumps every card in the pack, if you like. Our biggest success to date has been with the profitability study, which was done with Ubiquity and Game Theory, and looked at the profit generating power of TV and also the return on investment, both in the short term and the longer term. So that's the type of big scale, you know, really significant, credible study we do. But we also do stuff around helping understand how to use TV as a medium as best they can. So we did a whole piece of research into the consumer needs driving people's different viewing habits, which was really helpful for the planning community. So, you know, we have a strand around effectiveness and then a strand around, you know, changing technology and the impact on behaviour.
And how best to get the most out of the medium.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. A lot of people have said that it would be brilliant if there was little Thinkbox type operations all over the place, because obviously increasingly television's, you know, is a global medium. And I appreciate now that you've started the Global TV Group. You're the president of the Global TV Group. Mm-hmm. Could you say a little bit about it? I mean, where it came from and who's in it and those sorts of things?
So there are probably two different origins for the Global TV Group. But in the early days of Thinkbox, when we first got started, we'd had some success with our zero tolerance policy to myths and inaccuracies being either published or spoken about TV. And so we'd always sort of respond very vigorously if there were factual inaccuracies. But however, we came a cropper when there were myths and number wanging, as we called it, which originated often from the west coast of the US and were done on a global basis, because of course we didn't have the data at our fingertips to be able to respond effectively to that. So in the early days of Thinkbox, we made some forays into, you know, other markets and tried to make contact with other organizations like us to sort of a limited degree. So we started a bit of a relationship there. Then separately, we were getting much closer to EGTA as an organization, which is the trade body for broadcast organisations in Europe, and we started in about 2013, and we started getting together on a European basis to sort of coordinate our efforts, and so I suppose those were the two trigger points for it. And then gradually we thought, well, you know, we'll invite more members, we'll make what was a European initiative global if we can, and then 2016 we formally reorganised ourselves into the Global TV Group.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said very politely and very politically correctly, if I may say so, the West Coast of America. Mm-hmm. Do you mean, were you particularly concerned about some of the numbers that were emerging from, say, some of the online communities, some of the platforms?
Yeah, I mean, not scared to say the names. It was, you know, Google and Facebook particularly, but not just them. It was also ad tech providers, because at the time, you know, there were lots of people setting up businesses who were trying to make money out of advertising. And in order for their businesses to be successful, it would have to be at the expense of TV. You know, what they were prophesying would have to come true in order for their, you know, whole business models to work. So, but yeah, there was an awful lot of rubbish being spouted by the tech community in general and Google and Facebook in particular.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought whenever people sort of whenever I read a business plan from any ad tech business, or in fact any business, and they sort of say we're going to be funded by advertising, you sort of think it's not a sort of limitless supply of advertising. If you're going to get advertising money, it's got to come from somewhere.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, there has to be a very good reason if it's going to come from TV.
Yes, yes, exactly. So you establish it for those purposes, I guess. I mean, what are the, if you, and it was 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, that it really sort of got in, came into being. What would you say are its key objectives now and its priorities, the Global TV Group, I mean?
Well, I suppose the objective is to, and there are a surprising number of Thinkbox-type organisations around the world, and it is to try and promote TV in a coordinated way. So, as you know, TV is an enormous, influential, profit-generating medium, but it's largely a local one. So the biggest broadcast brands tend to be, you know, big local brands, unlike its competitors, who are enormous global organisations. So in order to try and provide some sort of competitive effort and resistance for that competitive threat, we could only do that by trying to promote things, promote TV in a more coordinated way. So it's to do that, to provide a sort of, you know, central coordinating function, and also remind audiences globally about the effectiveness and popularity of TV. So to take the job that is being done by the local marketing organisations and expand it onto more of a global platform.
It's an interesting point, isn't it? Because we said that TV obviously is a global force, clearly, and is obviously a global medium, but it is, as you've pointed out, local in the sense that the big players are all local. So what was the sort of attitude of the local players? Because, you know, if I was a local broadcaster, I think I'd go, well, I'm all for Thinkbox in this market. Why would I have any great interest in doing anything outside of the UK?
They've come to understand, I suppose, that the global threat, if you don't do anything about it, they will suffer eventually. So it's almost like there's a sort of abundance mentality amongst the players, which is, you know, speaking for our shareholders in the UK, for instance, they've learnt that by sitting together around a Thinkbox table, you know, enormously positive things happen if you have an attitude that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and we can all support each other, you know, to promote TV. And so, you know, once they've done that in the local market, it's only a small step to saying, well, actually, we need to do this globally too.
Yes.
So we're in the early days of this. I don't think we're a mature organisation by any means at all, but I suppose once you've made that shift, then, you know, it's it feels like a natural move.
And I guess, unlike the situation that might have existed sort of 10 years ago or something, as you said, you're now facing sort of global competitors, aren't you?
Well, exactly. And, you know, they are determinedly taking money which arguably is TV money. You know, TV more than earns its place in terms of demonstrating overall effectiveness, the profit-generating power it has for advertisers. It's absolutely best in class, but, you know, it's not getting its fair share of the money in terms of the profit it's generating. So in our profitability study, for instance, I think TV accounted for 55% of the media spend, but generates 71% of the profit. So you can see that there's a disconnect there, and you certainly don't want that to get any worse.
And TV's always been sort of best in class when it comes to research, hasn't it, and audience measurement?
Yes.
And one might say perhaps that one or two of the sort of companies that you've mentioned have been maybe less than transparent or less than open in their sharing of data.
Well, I think it's, yeah, it's ironic, isn't it? And we're sitting here today, I'm just reading on the news on the way in that Facebook had just announced another enormous increase in their profits. And it seems as though the sort of, you know, the regularity of their increases in profits is only matched by the regularity of how much they seem to be hauled over the coals for their sort of breaches in data or privacy or, you know, even just getting the research metrics wrong.
Yeah.
So there seems to be a really odd disconnect there.
It is a strange thing, that, isn't it? I mean, if you can kind of imagine a situation, not that it would ever happen, of course, where TV was making up metrics or getting its metrics wrong by the sort of scale that we've just seen in the last week or two seems to have come to light with Facebook. I mean, and yet somehow people sort of shrug and go, oh, well, it seems a sort of curious thing.
It's really odd, I think. And there's a double standard or a you know, lack of level playing field, that TV is held across the board to a much higher standard than other media. And transparency is one example there. But if you think about it, the expectations of TV to be totally transparent, you know, lots of other media are going in entirely the opposite direction. You think with walled gardens and marking their own homework and, you know, being the sort of, you know, provider of the all the advertising metrics and the, being the organisation that tells you how much you're going to pay for it as well. It just, it's really, you know, not fair at all. And almost TV's transparency is being sort of weaponized and used against it. And I think that's a terrible thing.
Yeah. How do you find sort of the advertiser community and the agency community? Because these are points, the points you're making are very good points about how, you know, we've always held ourselves to very high standards when it comes to audience measurement. I appreciate the standards obviously do vary by country. Practice does vary by country, obviously. But even, you know, in every country, the standards are very high. And yet, for some reason, advertising revenue keeps migrating towards people with less robust metrics, shall we say.
It's an odd thing that I think there's a sort of almost like a head and heart thing going on with advertisers, that if you ask them the question, you know, is transparency important and do you prioritise that for all your media owner partners, they would say, yes, categorically we do. But in practice, what they're doing is giving more and more money to untransparent partners.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't know why this is. I don't know what pressures they're under that, that makes them do that. But they do seem to, you know, speak with forked tongue at times.
Yes, it does seem so. Well, as we're sort of talking a little bit about audience measurement, I mean, and I'm assuming it is a priority of the group as a whole, of the global TV group as a whole. I mean, how does it actually kind of work in the sense that, you know, there are certain principles that you've outlined. How are those principles actually communicated around the global TV group world, as it were? I mean, how does that work? I mean, is there a roadmap towards research? Is there a...
So measurement is always going to be an enormous priority for not just our medium, but, you know, all others as well. And it's certainly a hot topic. It's not something that we, as a global TV group, are going to take the lead on. And that's to do with the structure of who we're made up of and also our resources, etc. So, you know, we're made up of the marketing bodies. Even in our own local areas, we're not taking the lead on that process there. So it would be odd if, as a global TV group, you know, we take the lead on it. But our partners and one of the members of the group, EGTA, is we support them absolutely. We have fantastic communication as to what the different initiatives are going on in measurement, and we act as a sort of, you know, whole sort of, you know, I suppose consultative body for
right.
them. So,
right.
But they're the ones who are driving it and leading it from our perspective.
So they're driving it, and then what you're obviously doing is then using the outputs from their work and other people's
work.
Yes,
and also I suppose also inputting and collaborating too. So, you know, a meeting of the Global TV Group is a very natural place for these issues around measurement to be discussed. We, you know, we share all the you know, developments that are happening in different markets, discuss, you know, what is the best thing for TV globally. And so it's an important contributor to the debate.
Yeah, it's interesting that audience measurement generally seems to have sort of come, you know, out of the wings, as it were, and become sort of centre stage, isn't it? It seems to be very much in the spotlight these days, and you can't turn around without seeing another initiative from someone somewhere on something. So we've got the EGTA charter, as you've referenced, and that obviously is a step towards setting out certain key principles of how you believe the medium should be measured, or how the broadcasters believe the medium should be measured. And then, of course, we've also, I guess, got the WFA, the Advertiser Initiative on Cross-Media Measurement. I mean, do you see these two things sort of working in concert with one another, or inputting into one another, or do you think they're just on separate tracks, going their own separate ways?
I would hope that the two things would come together, because, you know, it doesn't do the industry any favours if they've got, you know, two highly competitive, conflicting initiatives going on. And in terms of sort of our overall role in that, I would hope that TV, you know, we're talking as a whole, TV would be a very constructive partner in cross-media measurement. You know, if this is the thing that advertisers are looking for, then you would hope that TV, as one of the most significant media, is playing a very active role and constructive role in that. I suppose my hope is that throughout this whole process, TV will be fairly represented. It doesn't always feel as though TV is playing the driving role that one might expect it to play. Mm. So, for instance, you know, in this market in the UK, TV represents 95% of all viewing of video advertising. Mm. And, you know, other media such as Google and Facebook, between them, you know, represent 5%. And I would be very wary if, you know, those controlling the 5% are having a disproportionate voice in the 100%. And they seem to, you know, they always seem to have a seat around the table. They seem to, you know, have a disproportionate share of the influence. And I think that's something I'm very wary of.
And it's an interesting, it brings us almost back to the start about talking about the requirement for TV to be seen as a sort of global medium, doesn't it? Because it's comparatively simple to sort of go, well, yes, you would say that because you're some local broadcaster in country A. I mean, even in a big country, you're still a local broadcaster in country A. And we have to take a sort of global view of things, and you've got global competitors. So I guess the great role or the great opportunity for the Global TV Group, and indeed for organisations like EGTA, is to sort of try and corral sort of local, the local strength that exists within the medium, and establish a set of principles and support, I guess, for people when they are facing these major sort of global, these major global issues.
Well, it's absolutely right. It's a very important function for us to play. If you think about it, one of the big advantages that Google and Facebook as organisations have is that their structures reflect those of global clients. Hmm. So there'd be a natural point for global clients to go and talk to about it, even though they wouldn't necessarily always deserve their place there. So, you know, finding a way to make sure that TV, just because of its, you know, an accident of its local structure, to make sure that it doesn't get forgotten about in the discussions.
Yeah. And I think also you made a, just to finish perhaps, you made a very good point about, if you take the WFA initiative, which obviously is about primarily about cross-media measurement, mm-hmm. we're clearly not going to get to a point where all we have is a cross-media, some sort of supra jig or supra research technique of some sort. Mm-hmm. So we're always going to have the best possible measurement of broadcast or video, the best possible of print and online, the best possible of out of home or whatever it may be. So I guess what you're doing is making sure that your bit is as good as it can be when it feeds into any cross-media measurement system.
Well, that's exactly right. To make sure it's as good as it can be, but also make sure that it doesn't get unfairly represented because of the power of other players within the mix.
Yeah, I suppose you could be unfairly represented because you're being too good, almost.
Well, I think our very goodness as TV gets held against us. You know, I think you can see it all the time. You can see it in going back to the transparency of TV. You know, one of my other fears about getting to a point where you are looking at all, you know, putting all video, into the same pot, if you like, is that, you know, TV, because of its transparency, has become the sort of the pitch winning or losing medium, because it's very easy to look at the price of it. That price is being driven down and down and down. So agencies will win a pitch based on the price for TV, and then they'll be really stuck because, to doing a good job for their clients means, you know, delivering, you know, poor profit for themselves. And I'm wary about, a metric which gives them a reason to value, you know, low quality online video in a better way than, you know, high quality brand safe TV.
I think also it's you know, not meaning to sort of make you make immodest statements, but I do think that at the end of the day, we've got to remember that advertisers do things so they want to sell stuff, really, fundamentally.
Yeah.
And so therefore, and they want to make a profit. So therefore, everything they do should be tied back somehow to that. So they're not going out and buying television to buy ratings, they're going out and buying television in order to sell stuff and make a profit. So I think it's admirable that Thinkbox has done the sort of work, and you're not the only people, of course. I mean, you know, Newsworks have done something similar in the newspaper sort of space,
and also that there are a number of, going back to the Global TV Group, TV organisations all around the world have done very big scale econometric studies proving, you know, the power of TV.
Yeah, and I think that's worth bearing in mind, isn't it, that it's impressions are one thing, but selling stuff and making a profit is another thing.
Well, exactly.